What's up, everyone? I'm Nick.
And I'm Em.
And welcome into the Ominous Archives. What's going on, Em?
Not much. What's going on with you?
We just had that, like, hurricane blow through.
We did, like, literally, yeah. Like, 2 seconds ago.
That was a vicious storm.
If you guys hear any thunder.
Yeah.
That would be Mother Nature. That is not special for us.
She's not having it.
Yeah, she's pissed right now.
Yeah. I got nothing. It's been
You got nothing new for us?
Nothing. I got that new workout machine.
Oh, yeah. We did a new workout machine.
Mm-hmm. I used it today for the first time, and it definitely kicked my ass. So.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, there's that. Trying to get, you know, fit. Do something. Besides then, I have pizza for dinner.
Yeah.
But,
you know. It is.
Everything
it is.
Cancels out.
As you should. PEMDAS, you know.
Yeah. Yep. So, I guess we're just gonna dive right in.
What you got for me this week?
This is gonna be a long one.
Okay. Let me get comfy.
Yeah. You comfy yet?
I'm comfy. I'm good. All right.
You're good?
I'm situated.
Alrighty. So
I'm sat.
Tonight we're gonna be discussing lycanthropes, or as they're more commonly known as, werewolves.
I was gonna say, what the heck is a lycanthrope?
I think it's lycanthrope.
I've never heard that before. Either way, I've never heard it in my life.
Yep.
It is definitely that more is a, commonly known as a werewolf.
I would say this is a technical term.
Okay.
We're going to stick with werewolves. So werewolves are a shape-shifting creature that have unusual speed, strength, reflexes, and senses. They can be found in numerous books, films, shows. They're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
From way back when to modern time. They're just, they're here and they're here to stay.
All right.
It actually wasn't too long ago, though, that actually, like, believing that a werewolf was a real thing was pretty normal.
Right.
Pretty common. People thought that's what it was.
Yeah.
So, as Em already did, everybody get comfortable and get ready as we dive into the blood-soaked, fur-covered tale of the werewolf. What I find kind of, like, super crazy about the werewolf is how far back, like, this goes between the mythology and legends and everything.
Mm-hmm.
In Mesopotamia, there's the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is one of the world's oldest surviving literary works. It dates back to around 2100 BCE.
Whew.
There is a subtle but powerful reference to shapeshifting. And in case you're wondering, that story goes as followed. Gilgamesh, the Sumerian hero king, is pursued by the goddess Ishtar. When he rejects her advances, he lists all her former lovers she's ruined, and one of them, he says, was transformed into a wolf. This unnamed man was once a human, but Ishtar, in the moment of divine wrath, or perhaps fickle emotion, cursed him with a werewolf form.
He probably did something to deserve it.
Maybe. Maybe she's just crazy. Do you guys hear that? You hear like a I guess like a rotational sound, like a washer would make.
A rotational sound.
That's what it is. So there's no elaborate depictions of that transformation, but the implications are clear. To fall from human favor with the gods was to lose your very humanity. In this world, shapeshifting was a punishment. The poem predates Homer's Iliad and Odyssey by about 1,500 years, just to kind of give you like a point of reference.
1,500 years is crazy.
Mm-hmm. So, even in ancient Greece, we meet probably one of the more defining stories of werewolves. And it's the tale of King Lycan. Now, he was the king of Arcadia, and depending on the version, there's either a deep, curious skeptic or an outright villain. So there was a visitor in his court, and he decided he wanted to see if this visitor was truly the god Zeus in disguise. So how did he decide to test him? Well, he figured by serving him human flesh would be a good test. Whose flesh do you think he served? It's also depending upon the story you hear, but in some versions, it was a slave's. In others, it was his own son's.
Mm-hmm.
So now Zeus, rightfully pissed off, flips the table, unleashes thunderbolts. You know what I mean? I just picture him just like thunder everywhere. I guess thunderbolt. Lycan. Into a wolf. Hence the term lycanthropy. See what I did there? See how we got back to that?
See what I did there?
I'm just trying to see if you see it. I have no idea what that word was.
Yeah, no.
Now we know.
I get it. I was like, I've never heard them be called that before, ever.
So it's derived from lycanin and anthropops, which means man.
Hmm. Very self-explanatory.
Yeah. In Greek philosophy and drama, the werewolf becomes a symbol of hubris, arrogant defiance of divine law. It's a punishment, yes, but it's also a reflection. Lycanin didn't just become a wolf. He already was one, in spirit. The transformation made visible what had always been inside of him. So in the Greeks' eyes, he became the wolf because that's what he actually was inside. He wasn't a person. He was a wolf. So this concept, that monstrousness, I got that right earlier and I'm not going to get it right now. Monstrousness doesn't come from without, but within. Pretty much, Zeus pulled out the monster that was inside him.
Yeah.
Like we just kind of said. And I'm sure by now, and all of our listeners know, that if I can tie something to the Norse, I'm gonna. And in Norse mythology, wolves weren't just creatures of horror, but they were a symbol of war, chaos, and transformation. This is where some of the pronunciations... I love the Norse culture and everything. You'd think I'd get this stuff right, but I'm not gonna. In the saga of Volsungs, we meet a father and son who stumble upon enchanted wolf pelts. These magical skins, when worn, turn the wearer into a wolf for the next 10 days. So they could have been curious, or they could have been desperate, but either way, they put these pelts on.
Of course.
The only problem was the transformation just didn't alter their bodies.
Mm.
It corrupted their minds.
Ah.
Becoming overcome by bloodlust, they turned on innocent people and eventually even each other.
I can see how that would not be a good scenario.
Right? Yeah, it's probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
Now, again, this isn't a punishment from a god. Instead, it's a self-inflicted curse.
Right.
And that's important. The Norse stories show that shapeshifting might have began as a choice, but the control can be easily lost. So they're kind of saying you can...
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
You can choose it. No, I think it's the same.
Yeah, but it's like not... It. Yeah.
Wolves in Norse myth weren't just dangerous. They were apocalyptic.
Oh, perfect.
Think of Fenrir, the great wolf, destined to kill Odin during Ragnarok. In this context, the wolves represented more than primal rage. They were tied to cosmic destruction to end the order. Now, we're going to move forward a little bit. But in the Middle Age of Europe, where werewolves went from myth to reality, at least in the eyes of the church and society, we head to Ireland, where the legend of the werewolves of Osroy, also known as Lagnic Frilead. These weren't snarling monsters of the late European imagination. They were people, a family, or a clan, cursed to live as wolves for 7 years at a time before they could return to human form. But the twist? They keep their human consciousness.
Hmm.
So they could kind of speak reason, and according to some accounts, they could even practice religion.
Hmm.
One of the most intriguing stories come from Geralt of Wales. He wrote about an Irish priest who encountered a talking wolf in the woods. And the wolf claimed to be from Osroi, cursed to roam in wolf form, and when the wolf's companion was on the brink of death, he asked the priest to administer last rites and perform a baptism.
That's kind of crazy. Could you imagine, you just, like, come across a talking wolf in the woods? Mm-hmm. And it's, like, before, like, you're like, what the?
Yeah.
What is this? You think you're going crazy.
Yeah. Am I losing my mind?
Right. You're like, what the hell?
I completely would think. I'd be like, oh, I'm losing my mind.
Right. I'm like, this is, okay, I'll wake up eventually.
I mean, I talk to myself a lot. And, like, I'll talk to objects or whatever, like, when I'm at work. But if a wolf came out and started talking to me, I'd be like, oh, God, I really gotta get my brain checked. Now, when it comes to this story, what blows my mind is it implies that the soul can remain intact inside a beast and that the church might recognize it.
Right. That is kind of a crazy concept.
Yeah. And even the fact that they may have even blessed the werewolf.
Right.
To think about it is kind of crazy.
Yeah, that is a crazy thought.
Like, we're talking the church here.
Yeah, seriously, the church. Yeah, honestly.
So, talking about the church, they've also helped in the infamous witch hunts in Salem.
Yeah, that I know.
Which they are also going on in Europe.
Yeah.
But Europe also saw a wave of werewolf trials that swept across France, Germany, Switzerland, and the Netherlands.
Switzerland?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yep. I didn't know about these until I started doing this. I was like, I didn't know there were werewolf trials.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's pretty cool. They weren't just fictional stories. They were real court cases with real people accused, tortured, and executed, fueled by superstition, fear, and often religious or political motives.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy to put into perspective to think about, because, like, they were okay with the werewolves, but, like, the witches, we were drawing the line at the witches.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Because the witches practice, like...
I guess the werewolves aren't really doing any...
It depends. Werewolves are usually, we'll get into it.
They kill people, or...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but technically.
My original thought was, like, oh, well... like, witches, like, swore their soul to Satan or whatever.
Yeah, I guess. So they said.
In a way.
That could have been made up.
In a way, it said werewolves do too, so.
Yeah.
Who knows? I will give a heads up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it's right here, but some of these will get rough.
Yeah.
So if you have, I don't know, if you have, like, a easily upset stomach.
Trigger warning.
Yeah. Give the trigger warning.
Here's your trigger warning.
Appreciate that, Em, because anytime. I could not think of trigger warning.
There it is.
We will, I'll try and, like, make sure I'm a little ahead
to
give, like, the actual trigger warning. But I know some of these cases, like this one, I don't know how in depth I actually went into it, but they get rough.
Okay.
So, one of the most brutal and infamous cases was of Peter Stump, the so-called werewolf of Bedburg. He was executed in 1589, and he was a German farmer and was accused of making a pact with the devil, using a magical belt to transform into a wolf, practicing black magic, killing and eating at least 14 children, including his own son, and engaging in incest with his daughter.
What?
Yeah. Now... I was listening to a podcast earlier this week, just to kind of, like, refresh myself on some of this, and they actually said they weren't sure if Stump was his last name, or if he kind of got that name because he didn't have a left hand, so they called him Stump.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, which, when he transformed into wolf form,
he
only had three paws.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Wild little fun fact for
you. Makes it even wilder. I'm sure, you know, he was just like, I'm honest, Scott's honor. This is what I did.
No shot.
No. He probably confessed under torture. They portrayed him as a monster in both human and supernatural form. His execution was as gruesome as the crimes he was accused of. So, he was put on, like, the rack.
Oh, perfect.
And had joints. Yeah. We're circling right on back
to
that.
Please, not this again.
Hey, episode 2 of that will come out soon.
Whew.
Maybe. So they pretty much pulled his joints out to the point right before they were going to rip off.
Perfect.
They also filleted him. And it said that the local farmers all took their axes and beheaded him. Now, there's nothing to say that these farmers' axes were super sharp.
Right.
So, it's not necessarily...
Oh my gosh, that's terrible. It's
not necessarily said if he was killed, like, quickly.
Quickly, yeah.
After he was beheaded, him and his daughter were both burned. Because his daughter also admitted to assisting him in some of this.
Oh, damn.
So... She didn't have as much torture done. Now, whether he was a deranged killer, maybe a first serial killer, a scapegoat, or a victim of mass hysteria, we'll never know. But his case reveals how deeply the fear of werewolves really got into society.
Clearly.
In 1521, French shepherds Pierre Bergotte and Michael Verdun told a different tale. They claimed that they made a deal with a mysterious man in black who gave them a magical ointment that turned them into wolves. They were, like, hunting.
Yeah.
From some stuff I've gathered. And they're having issues, like, actually getting deer or getting whatever. So that's why they made this deal to turn them into wolves to pretty much go hunt.
Right.
And capture things. And it worked.
Yeah.
Until... they actually started hunting and eating people.
Oh, perfect.
Including children.
Nice.
And both were also convicted and burned at stake.
Well, that's what happens.
There you go. Eat people, get burned at stake.
Yeah, well.
Similar stories have cropped up elsewhere, like in the Netherlands. Volker Dirks and his daughter were accused of transforming into wolves and cats.
Cats.
Under Satan's command.
I'd transform into a cat.
Yeah. You know what I found out? That black cats are apparently, if you actually go back far enough, they're considered lucky, not unlucky.
I've always said that.
Have you?
Yes.
Did you say that about Pierre?
I should have if I didn't, because I think black cats are perfect and misunderstood creatures.
There's a lot of that, too. Because the same thing for dogs. An all-black dog, if they are in the like SPCA or whatever, they have a really, really hard time getting adopted.
Yeah, makes me sick.
Yep.
Black dogs are beautiful, and I love them. And black cats are good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, moving on.
Back into the story. So they would transform at Satan's command. And it was an accusation originally made by his own son, or sons. The claim that they, too, were given a magical belt by the devil.
Oh.
But there is one. Not all the werewolf stories end in execution. In the 17th century, Theseus, an 80-year-old man, claimed that he was a hound of God. According to him, he entered hell 3 times a year in wolf form to battle witches and demons to protect the harvest. Because he never claimed a pact with the devil, he was sentenced to flogging, not death.
What's flogging?
Pretty sure it's just like when they beat you.
Oh, you perfect. Can get up,
but I'm pretty sure it's something like that, like along those lines of like a beating. But now when it came to Hans of Linovia, he was an 18-year-old accused of being a werewolf in 1651. Was I right?
Yeah. I mean, it says specifically, like, getting hit with a stick or a whip, which, honestly, is just... I didn't need the details, honestly.
But, yeah, you're just getting...
That was enough.
So, Hans was accused in 1651, and he admitted, probably under torture, that a man in black, whom he believed to be Satan, bit him, allowing him to transform into a wolf.
Interesting. Little vampire-esque.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's always how it is.
Yeah.
If you get bit by a werewolf, you become a werewolf.
Yeah, I know, but, like, it's always been interesting to me. Like, I feel like the werewolf thing... whatever. Proceed.
What?
Nothing. I'll say my thoughts. I'll get there.
All right. So, no murders were proven, But Hans was executed simply for allegedly having magic performed upon him. So it's kind of easy to see how in the time before psychology and criminal forensics, people explained horrific violence through supernatural beliefs. Serial killers didn't exist in the public imagination, but werewolves did.
Right.
Confessions were often a result of torture, delusion, or misunderstanding. Yet they fueled a societal purge of monsters who, more often than not, were just marginalized, misunderstood, or mentally ill. Now, I will say of Peter Stubb that a lot of people believe he did commit all the crimes that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he, like, recounted them, he had, like, crazy detail.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right.
A lot of people are, like, kind of, yeah, yeah, we're good. Now, the werewolf is also in a lot of art and literature.
Yeah.
And it was during this time that the werewolf's image began to appear in woodcuts, pamphlets, and religious arts. These weren't romantic or tragic figures. They were grotesque and often shown in mid-transformation, part man, part beast. One famous woodcut from the 16th century. Sorry, my contact went fuzzy. I swear I was a 14. It is the 16th century. Shows a man clutching at his human skin as it peels away to reveal fur underneath.
Okay. That is uncomfy.
Right? Another depicts a werewolf devouring children while a group of onlookers watch in horror. These images were moral warnings. They were intended to shock, repulse, and all of above to instruct. The message was clear. Stray from God, and you will become no better than an animal. In literature, werewolves often appear in demonology texts or cautionary tales. They symbolize not just a physical transformation, but a spiritual fall. Which kind of makes sense. Like, I think of all the stuff like the werewolf shows, and like what we've covered so far, is kind of leaning along that. Like, you're either you are a, like, you are already internally a wolf and something brings it out of you, or you kind of just have like this disconnect.
Right.
And it's almost like, it's a comparison, but it's not like the Wendigo. How the Wendigo was like shunned, kind of, and like isolated himself, kind of like that. But it doesn't, if you isolate yourself, you don't become a werewolf. You become a Wendigo. Now, here's what's kind of fascinating. Many of these legends and trials took place during times of great social stress. There was the Little Ice Age, which was causing food shortages and famine. There were plagues and diseases that were ravaging towns. And then war and religious upheavals were tearing communities apart. So when people are starving or dying, when governments and churches fail to protect them, you know, they look for someone to blame.
Yeah.
Maybe something to blame. And so the werewolf became a scapegoat, I'm sure. Just like witches and vampires.
Yeah.
The werewolf represented everything that threatened the fragile order of society. Hunger, savagery, paganism, and the beast within. So by hunting down werewolves, the communities could believe that they were restoring balance. It's kind of like that whole hope kind of deal. And it isn't just what makes the werewolf kind of unique. Is it's not just like it's isolated to one area. It's not like it's just in Europe.
No.
There's Mexico, the Aztecs, and the Zapotecs. They find the figure of Nagal, I believe it's how it's said. Now, that is a person who is often a shaman or spiritual leader who can transform into an animal. Unlike the cursed European werewolf, this transformation isn't necessarily a punishment. It's often a gift, a sign of power, or a connection to the divine. They could become bunch of different animals. They become a wolf, a dog, a jaguar, an owl, or even an eagle. And they all kind of represent different things. So the Aztecs' belief is that every person born under a day sign is associated with an animal, and that animal becomes a part of your spiritual identity. So your tonal, it's said that the stronger your link with it is, the more likely you are to be able to shift into the creature. So kind of think of your Patronus, but you can actually become your Patronus.
Right.
But here is where we get a little more fascinating, because they walk, the Nagals walk kind of like a tightrope. Some are protectors of like the community, they're healers, guiders, seers. Others, especially during the Spanish colonization, were seen as dangerous sorcerers accused of using their powers for theft, revenge, or even murder. So even these guys can, you know, go back and forth. And it just depends upon how you look at them. If they're going to be a, whatchamacallit, why am I drawing a blank? If you're going to have like the good transformation or the bad transformation, pretty much. Now, that was a lot of history and some of the tales on kind of like werewolves, where they became or where they came from. I'm sure, Em, you've been over there kind of looking at me like you would really like to figure out how to become one.
I'm dying to know, actually. I'm on the edge of my seat.
We're going to say this isn't a how-to guide.
Oh, right.
I would not do any of these. Some of them are just weird.
Some of them are just weird.
Yeah. Obviously, the one that everybody knows is getting bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get bit by a werewolf, you're going to become a werewolf.
Which is why when you said, I was like, oh, vampire-esque, and you were like, well, isn't that how you always turn into a werewolf? That's not always how you turn into a werewolf, not in every form of media, because all the werewolves, my werewolf is Jacob Black. He was just born, and he just happens to turn into a werewolf when a vampire moves in. That's how that works.
He's just born a wolf, but he doesn't know he's a wolf until a vampire moves in?
Well, in the Twilight universe, the wolf's sole purpose is to hunt and kill vampires, so... Yeah. I never watched Teen Wolf.
That's Monster on Monster Crime.
Yeah, I was never really a Teen Wolf girly. All my werewolf experience is with Twilight and the Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
So there's vampires in both equations.
The one podcast I listened to kind of, like, touch up on some of this stuff was Graveyard Tales. Mm-hmm. And I love those two guys. They're great. Adam was wearing a Teen Wolf jersey when they recorded their werewolf episode.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Matt went on vacation, so Adam did the research on this episode. He's like, yeah, I got my jersey, and they're making fun of themselves. But to get back on topic.
Tell me how to become a werewolf, please.
Carol Rose wrote Giants, Monsters, and Dragons. And in ancient Greece, from her book, it was believed that a person could be transformed by eating the meat of a wolf that had been mixed with that of human.
Hate that.
Really?
Don't like that at all.
Could be worse. Centuries later, another method to create a werewolf was being cursed, or you were conceived under a new moon, or you ate certain herbs. Maybe you fell asleep under a full moon on a Friday. In case
shit out of luck. Now you're a werewolf.
And you have to be outside. Like, in the grass, outside.
Sleeping under the full moon.
Well, we're always under the moon.
But, you have to be outside.
Outside under the moon.
Shut up.
You're going to wake up a werewolf. You could also drink water that has been touched by a werewolf or drank from a werewolf downstream. It's like if you're downstream and they were upstream and you did it. It's also believed that if you drank water out of a wolf's paw print. Is another one.
Never heard that one before. Yep.
There's so many. They're great. It's widely believed that werewolves could dress in a special protective wolf skin, though they had to remove it at daybreak and hide it. So pretty much if you put on a wolf's pelt, you could become a werewolf. If the pelt was found and taken from the werewolf when they were in human form, they could then be killed. One of the other ways that I learned was if you mixed, it was either human flesh or human blood with beer and drank it.
Oh.
Yeah. That was another way. I thought that was funny. I was like, nice. It always goes around beer. Always. There's always some kind of alcohol involved. And then in the Scottish and Irish folklore, the full moon was originally one of the many possible causes of being a werewolf or lycanthropy. And that kind of like stuck into the person, like into the general public's mind on how werewolves transform was the full moon. But some have belts from Satan. Some have magical pelts. And that's pretty much like your best way of changing and everything. But it's not just the full moon. Actually, the first time we were going to try and record this episode, there was a full moon.
We dropped the ball on that one.
Em got scared. So
I didn't want to turn into a werewolf.
Yeah. It's not like we were going to fall asleep underneath the moon.
You never know.
We're in the archives. We also may be moving these archives.
What? Archives are moving.
Possibly. Maybe. So it's considered in werewolf lore that the full moon is what breaks the beast loose. So it's like a trigger or a symbol of losing control and letting your animal instincts take over. So to go back, like we've been touching on this full moon aspect. I really should put my glasses on. What's cool with the full moon aspect is there was a recent study in 2022 that was published in the Australian Journal of Parapsychology, found a statistically significant raise in reported haunt-type phenomena like ghost sightings during both full and new moons. What's especially interesting is that the study controlled for the psychological bias of it. Many of the observers were trained to not believe in moon effects, but yet anomalies persisted.
Anemones.
That is definitely our anemone, the anomalies. So I think it's wild that...
Yeah, that is crazy.
They, like, taught them not to believe in the moon effects, right. But yet it's still, like, stuff still happened underneath the full moon.
Yeah.
And new moon makes it weird. So I figured now we kind of covered how to become one, the whole moon thing. You probably want to know how we should kill one if you come across it.
It would be, I feel, as though a good thing
to
know.
Do you have an idea? I'd hope you did. It's not hard.
The bullet thing, right?
The bullet thing.
Through their heart.
That's a vampire and that's a stake.
I thought it was a bullet. Can't you kill a werewolf with a bullet?
Like
a
specific bullet? What kind of bullet? I'll give you a hint, it's a type of metal.
Silver?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so I was literally right, and he's like, Anyway.
I had to get it out of you. You had to do it. So, the myth was that werewolves would die from a silver bullet to the heart. It's no myth at all. It's super true. Shoot anybody in the heart with a silver bullet, and they will die.
Yeah.
If you're a good shot, and have bullets made of pure silver on hand.
Where are you getting a bullet made of pure silver?
Perfectly okay time killing a werewolf.
All right. Your job is pretty easy for you.
Yeah. Now, apparently, you wouldn't actually even have to hit them in the heart. Mm. Just the induction of silver would stop them, their heart from beating.
Mm.
Read that somewhere. Don't know how true that is.
How many werewolves have they killed in their time?
Yeah. I mean, apparently that person's killed a lot of werewolves. And they were like, I shot him in the finger and boop, dead. So the reason that the silver bullet became so legendary is because it is by far the easiest method of getting pure silver to reach a werewolf's heart.
Right. Like, just get the job done.
Just get the job done.
Yeah.
But you probably are going to find yourself in a situation where you want to kill a werewolf, but you don't have silver bullets on you.
Right. Like, what are the odds that I run into a werewolf happen to have silver bullets at hand?
You don't have to be embarrassed, Em. It's going to happen to us all. In this instance, a regular gun with regular bullets may be able to do the trick.
Oh, that's nice.
In case you're wondering, don't climb up a tree and try and shoot them from there. Werewolves are apparently excellent tree climbers. I literally read that somewhere. I forget where I pulled that from, but it literally was like a big
Yeah.
Do not climb a tree. Werewolves are good tree climbers. And I was like, I don't think I would think, though. I think I'd be too scared. I would just be running. You know?
Be so worried.
It's kind of just like a bear.
Yeah.
I think it's a black bear. Can climb a tree pretty well. Jeez, I'm putting him to sleep here, guys. I'm
sorry.
Probably putting half of you to sleep, too, then.
No, it's just my coffee hasn't hit. I'm waiting for it to hit. I finished it, 20 minutes ago.
Well, you can also kill them. You can also kill werewolf with a blunt object.
See, I feel like I'm not strong enough for that. I feel like you have to also factor in that, you have to be, physically,
you can't.
Capable.
You're probably not going to do it with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Or, anything kind of like that in the swinging motion.
Mm-hmm.
More of, dropping, a piano out a window. Blunt object style.
And how am I supposed to lift that piano?
I don't know. They do it in the cartoons.
If you figure that out, you let me know.
I have pulleys and rope. It's got to be all timed out. Now, I found some actual sightings. There's a lot of sightings, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go through a couple of them. If you start, if you're interested and you kind of Google it and look on yourself, there's a ton.
Yeah.
A ton of werewolf sightings. I'm going to start with, we talked about them earlier, Pierre Bergot and Michael Verdun. So, there were three of them who were accused in France. And so it was a traveler who was attacked by the wolf, which also injured the creature. He then tracked it to Michael Vernon's house.
Perfect. Where
apparently Vernon was found dripping blood, which obviously got him arrested. And like I said, he earlier confessed under torture of being a werewolf. And then he implicated Pierre and a Philbert Montat. So in his confession, he apparently told the tale of making a deal with three mysterious men dressed in black, like we said, to protect the sheep. There's also the hunting part of it. So that's pretty much the backstory on them. There's Vlaslav of Polstok. He was a ruler of Polstok. We'll say Poltisk. It was a region that is now part of Belarus from 1044 to 1101 CE. History records him as a strong leader and warrior, but he was also said to be a sorcerer. In fact, in Russian literature, he's called Vlaslav the Sorcerer. And soon after his death, he was named a werewolf in folktales. This reputation was recorded in the old Slavic poem, The Tale of Igor's Companion, in which the prince was said to race from town to town as a wolf.
Nice.
right? I'm going to get to Wisconsin. I had a couple more from, over the pond, but why don't we get into some Wisconsin sightings? These are local, and they're actually kind of, relevant.
Yeah.
This one is in Jefferson County, Wisconsin, in 1964. Dennis Fulis, he was driving along Highway 89 around midnight when he saw a figure running across the road. When his headlights caught the sight of the creature, it was eerily similar to the werewolf seen in 1936. Just a couple miles away, it was large and muscular, stood around 7 feet tall, covered in dark brown hair with a dog-like face. He saw the creature run across the road, jump over a barbed wire fence, and disappear into a cornfield. He waited until the sun was up the next day to return to the scene of the sighting.
I don't blame him.
Yeah. Please.
I'm waiting until daylight.
I don't even know if I'd go back.
All right.
I'd probably just be like, all right, that was interesting. I saw that. Yeah, I saw that. I'm just going to go about my life. So he was hoping to find tracks to prove that the size of the beast. But the ground was too hard. And he was able to find a place in the cornfield where the werewolf had entered.
Mm.
The stalks of corn were broken and askew in such a way that supported the theory that a man beast of massive size had been there.
I believe it.
Mm-hmm. And that was the second time that one was seening. Because this one, so that one was what? That one was Highway 89.
Yeah.
That one from 1936, just real quick, was on, same thing, Jefferson County. Yeah. It was on Highway 18, though.
They like Wisconsin.
I got like 9 sightings from Wisconsin. That's why I was like, I'm telling you, if you enjoy werewolves and you want to you can just look up sightings and Reddit, you'll just fall into a hole. Mm-hmm. Like you'll just all the way down. So from 1964, I'm going to scroll on down to 1990. I feel like that was like just around the, I mean, I wasn't born yet, but I feel like that was literally just around the corner. This was in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. A 11-year-old girl named Heather Bowie saw what she thought was a large dog stand up on its hind legs and run away. She lived near Bray Road, which would become a part of the famous nickname for this werewolf. The Bray Road Werewolf.
That'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Let's go even later. Year 1999 in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. This is the sighting that got everybody talking. It was the sighting of Halloween 1999. An 18-year-old woman named Thorstein Gibson was driving along, you guessed it, Bray Road, when her car suddenly jerked as if she hit something. She got out of the car and walked back along the road, straining to try and see, as I am right now. Then she caught sight of what she had hit. It was a huge, dark, hairy figure. It began rushing toward her. She ran back into her car and began driving away.
Smart.
The beast reportedly jumped up onto the trunk of her car, but due to the wetness of the rain that covered the car, it couldn't hold on and it fell to the ground.
Thank God for that.
She said she drove back to the location that same night with a young trick-or-treater, and they both saw the large figure laying on the side of the road.
Girl.
At that point, they didn't stay long. Two things with that. I
would not have gone back, and why did you bring a child?
Why? I was just going to say that. What trick-or-treater is getting in the car with her?
Right.
Why would you just get, I don't know, stranger danger? I don't even think it's stranger danger anymore. There's a new saying.
Either or. What it is.
Strange people? Weird people?
Yeah, well.
I don't know. We're weird people. But I don't know. There is a new thing. It's not just stranger danger. Because it could be anybody. She reported the sighting the next day, which is what brought the other witnesses to share their tales. And at this point, no one was sure what the creature was, so they dubbed it the Bray Road Beast. I called it the werewolf earlier, but it got a new one. That was the last sighting that I had from Wisconsin. Hmm. But 99. We're talking 27 years ago, 26 right. years ago. Can I do math? We're in 25. That would be 26.
Mm-hmm.
So like, that's pretty recent.
Right.
In terms of like cryptids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
My last sighting, which is actually not my last sighting, but the last one we're going to talk about because it's been a long time. It is the red-eyed werewolves of PA.
Oh,
we've
perfect.
Got werewolves.
Yay.
In the fall of 1973, Western Pennsylvania played host to dozens of reports of strange ape-like creatures, sometimes seen in associations with UFOs. Said to have fiery red eyes that glowed in darkness. And they were about 7 to 8 feet tall.
Perfect.
And they gave off a strong, unpleasant odor. Another type of creature, investigator Stan Gordon noted, was said to be between 5 and 6 feet tall, and it was described as looking just like an extremely muscular man covered with thick, dark fur. Again, these reports, the arms were very long and hung down past the knees, super long. This creature appeared to have superior agility exceeding that of a deer, and from the footprints discovered, the stride that the creatures could make varied between 52 and 57 inches. In these reports, there was no indication of odors, though.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Right underneath the Pennsylvania one, Wisconsin werewolf attack. I'm telling you, dude. Wisconsin
is
werewolf
crazy.
Encounter. They're just Wisconsin.
If you want to see some werewolves, just head over to Wisconsin.
Go to Wisconsin. But with all that, too, we said earlier, books and movies and TV shows.
There's such much. Even just the ones that we named alone. There's so many more.
I'm just going to name the titles of these. Sam absolutely killed getting all this info.
This is like her forte.
But at the speed I read and the rate my contacts are going, we'd be here for a few, probably 6 hours.
Literally.
But there's The Book of Werewolves in, I think it was published in 1865. Hmm. So you got an old one there.
Yeah.
They have the themes about them, you know. So they also have, like, a romantic influence with Beauty and the Beast.
Right. Literally. That is essentially a werewolf.
They're just all over in pop culture.
Seriously.
Everywhere. From
Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf.
Twilight. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Buffy. That's in here. You have this is a movie, right? The Wolfman from 1941. What's the other really popular one? Oh, The Howling. That's another popular one. And apparently a good one that, while listening to a bunch of these podcasts, it makes me want to listen to is An American Werewolf in London. This is apparently began to blend the horror comedy. There was gruesome body horror with dark humor. We just had Teen Wolf. I don't even know what the hell Ginger Snaps is.
But a Canadian favorite.
Oh, there you go. We love Canada.
Canada.
I'm pretty sure that's not how it goes.
Oh, pretty Canada.
Sure. Yeah, you do say Canada.
Oh, Canada.
That's better. How do you say you watch hockey? There's the Underworld franchise.
Mm.
Twilight.
Put respect on my love. My first and true love, Twilight. Even Harry Potter.
Remus. You could,
Remus is literally
and he
werewolf.
Was bitten by Fenrir.
Right.
I can't never say that, but whatever.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah. You're right. Mm-hmm. It's in so much media.
Yeah. And then we were just talking TV-wise. Teen Wolf, Buffy, Penny Dreadful.
Vampire Diaries.
The Elder Scrolls vs. Skyrim. That's gaming.
Verse what?
Elder Scrolls 5. Skyrim, sorry. Again, Skyrim. Contacts. I missed
love
the colon.
Love Skyrim.
I missed the whole colon. Well, if you play that one, they're in that one. The Witcher. Now, today, there are some of the best reviewed werewolf films from, 2020 till now. So, we have The Cursed, which was made in 2021. Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 73%. The audience gave it a 79%. Werewolves Within, also 21. Rotten Tomatoes, an 86. Audience, an 81. The Wolf of Snow Hollow, in 2020, got a 89% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 66% from the audience.
That's a very big difference there.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
The audience must have not really liked it. I also don't understand that.
Yeah.
Because, I feel like Rotten Tomatoes was really good when it first came out, and then now it's just kind of literally critics, and they're just like, ugh, and I'm like, I don't know. I watch a movie, and they'll be like, oh, this is like a 13%. I'm like, yeah, that's like a 78.
Right.
That was a good movie. I don't know. I don't get paid to watch movies, so. But in conclusion, we've got the werewolf evolved from cursed kings to emo teens, from bloodthirsty killers to misunderstood souls. It's never stopped evolving since it's been talked about.
It's one of those ones that it's just it's like vampires. Like, werewolves and vampires will always be talked about in terms of, cryptid, that, just...
Yeah.
Things like that. It's, they're the icons.
And as we go on.
And do the doer.
Yeah. And maybe as our fears or hidden desires or even world changes, I'm assuming just going to evolve right with it.
Seriously.
It's evolved since it's started out.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
So I think that's going to wrap me up.
That was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was a little different. I like the direction we headed with this one, because all the ones I listened to kind of hit the same repetitive stories.
Yeah.
We hit a couple of them, but I learned a whole lot more about, the history and stuff of a werewolf.
I didn't even know what they were originally called.
Yeah, see? We all learned something. So, with that being said, we couldn't have done this episode without Sam. She is our third team member, because she is such a good researcher and writer. She also not only helps us out, she reviews horror books on her own podcast, Scare Me Sam. So if you're in the market for a new horror book, go check out Scare Me Sam. See what she's reading. See some of her reviews. And also go check her blog out at ScareMeSam.com.
Yes.
Yep. I think, and we don't have any news, go rate, rate and review us.
Yes.
Comment. We
give
prefer,
us 5 stars, please.
Yeah, we prefer 5 stars, but I mean, just rate us. We, you know, it helps us continue in the algorithm to stay relevant. We enjoy doing it. We hope you guys enjoy listening. So I think that with that being said, we are getting out of here. Don't forget to follow us, Ominous Archives.
Yes.
At any of the social medias, Instagram, X, YouTube, Reddit,
TikTok.
If you want to go and share some stories in our Reddit handle, we got one. TikTok, yes. Which I've slacked at the last 2 weeks. It's so okay. It's been a long 2 weeks. If you have your own story, your own werewolf story, you want to reach out in general, please don't hesitate to email us at ominousarchives@gmail.com. And that is it. That is it for us down here. So don't forget to come back next week as we dive into more strange and haunted stories in the Ominous Archives. See ya.
See ya.